Hi everyone, this is Tim. I just wanted to take a moment to apologize for the poor recording quality on this week's show. I'm still trying to determine the cause, but we didn't want to miss a week. If you do stick with us through the episode, thanks a lot. I don't think you'll be disappointed, at least with what we're saying. If not, I totally understand. We do hope you'll come back. We're going to get this sorted out, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have boners, and they're musical boners. We talk about all things musical in a variety of different media.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I'm always here.
And Nick Glover.
Hey, hey, hey.
He's always here because he lives here.
It's true.
And we are here to have a delicious and tasty and rock-throbbing hard discussion about our boners.
Boners. And I feel like it should be food-related.
Why? Because it's tasty?
You said it's tasty.
So is your boner not tasty? Hey, Pat! No.
I'm not going to say I haven't tried. I was a teenager. The point is that I don't know.
The point is, flexibility was not a gift bestowed unto you.
Not a gift. No, it was not.
Yeah.
Proof there is no God. You can't suck your own dick. some intelligent design, am I right?
I think exactly. Being able to suck your own dick is evolutionarily disadvantageous.
That's true, actually.
Because if you could suck your own dick, how much time would you invest in trying to procreate?
It proves evolution is true and not intelligent design. Because if God, if God designed us and actually didn't want us to fuck each other, you know, he would make us be able to lick our own genitals.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yay, boner time. I'm already drinking, and it's the morning.
Oh, boy.
As you may or may not know, maybe you're new to our show, we often get throbbing erections for various geeky things, or just things that are getting us super hard and excited. You know how it is when you are a geek, you tend to get really obsessed over one thing for a short period of time.
That is true.
Like the way you only masturbate to the Sears catalog for 1 hour, and then maybe you switch it over to Victoria's Secret. That's a shout-out to my little brother.
I'm just trying to figure out what was in the Sears catalog to masturbate
80s and bras.
Really?
Yep.
He was
11.
I was thinking, dude, I like refrigerators as much as the next person. But,
yes.
But anyway.
It was that, Kenmore Craftsman.
Oh, French doors.
Is that an ice maker? Oh, my God. All right, so, hey, Tim.
Hey, Molly.
Describe the length, breadth, and tenure of your erection.
Okay, I've been thinking about this, and the boner that I am going to talk about, I think, is Moana. Which is the latest animated film from Disney. And I guess it's mostly a boner because my kids they really got into this movie a lot. To the point that, like, they really wanted the soundtrack, and it's regularly playing in our home.
I haven't seen it yet.
The soundtrack is awfully catchy and actually relates to, I believe, what's going to be your boner.
Ooh.
In that it was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame.
Oh my God, they just came.
We were just in Disney World. I talked about it in our New Year's episode.
Oh, yeah, your fun Disney adult World. Trip.
Yeah, our fun adult trip.
Yeah.
It was super fucking awesome.
Adult trip sounds like adultery when you say it really fast.
It does. It does. And, there were five of us, and there could have been some of that. Anyway, the whole time we were at, and if you've seen the movie, and since Molly and Nick haven't seen the movie,
I haven't.
Any sense. If you've seen the movie, my whole goal while I was there was to find something that had the character of Maui on it that said, "You're welcome." There's a song in
the... I've seen the whole that song number is on YouTube.
And that song is fucking awesome and hilarious.
It's The Rock, right?
Yeah, it's The Rock. Yeah. It's The Rock.
I'm sorry, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
For a boner episode, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rock Johnson.
Johnson.
So... We're looking all over it, and there's like one in one of the parks, there's one little table of Moana merchandise, and it's just like
fucking A. All I want is this. I want a t-shirt or a fucking pin with Maui saying you're welcome. And there's a lot of other things in the movie that are good. There are a couple of things that aren't great, but the character of Moana is a really good character. They did a good job with her. The whole story is extremely well done. You got to give them a huge shout out. And because I shouted out about Kubo and the Two Strings, and I love Kubo and the Two Strings, but one of the things that is a problem with Kubo and the Two Strings is a film featuring that is set in Japan, featuring characters that are all Japanese, and most of the voice cast is not even Asian. Yeah. Not even Asian. Moana, with the exception of a person who plays a chicken, the entire cast is Polynesian.
Pacific. Oh, Polynesian specifically.
Pacific Islanders.
Okay. Yeah. That's great.
But, I mean, Pacific Islanders.
Six of one.
Yeah, but, the lead, Moana, she was, they did a big casting search and, cast her. And she's like a 14-year-old girl.
That's great, because a lot of times in Aladdin, Jasmine was Lea Salonga. Like, a lot of times it's an adult woman playing a young girl. Right. So it's great that it was actually a young girl.
They got a teenager to play the teenage character, because Moana's like 16.
Yeah.
They have The Rock, who is Polynesian, playing. So even their big name that they cast...
Yeah,
using somebody from that region, which was, I think, really smart.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it a lot of props for that. And I just my criticism is not of the movie; it is of Disney for failing to recognize that they put out a really good movie, and then they should have more merchandise because they would have gotten more of my money. I'm not saying they did not get a lot of my money.
Sure, they got a lot of your money. Yeah.
They get a lot of your money. They get a lot of my money, and I have to to review The Adult Trip really briefly. By the way,
yeah, please.
I'm just gonna say. So we all said, we're going to do this once, and if it's fun, maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And Pat and I actually, because we're going a couple more times this year, we bought annual passes.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper to get annual passes than to buy passes for every day we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And so we all figured it out, and we have plans to go next year a week earlier, and everybody bought annual passes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're going again instead of for 6 days, for 8. So apparently we all got along.
That's great.
And it was great.
That's cool.
But by next year, Disney, I know there are some of you who listen to this podcast.
I'm sure.
And in the Disney marketing department, I'm going to say every piece of merchandise you produce that has Maui on it that says, "You're welcome," I am going to buy.
Sweet. Next year they're going to have "You're welcome" cock rings.
And I will buy it. I'm just saying, Disney, you have a financial boon on your hands.
That's awesome.
If you just get on it. So
Where would you rate Moana? Like, thinking of like the big, the big Disney musicals, like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Brave.
Mulan.
If we're talking about the modern...
I guess the musicals. The modern ones. Yeah, modern era. 90s going forward, we'll say, or late 80s. Starting, I think Little Mermaid was the first one.
I think
Cinderella. Modern, that's what I'm saying. I think.
Without looking at a list of the movies of Disney, I think... Well, last year, the trick is last year they came out with Zootopia, which I thought was amazing.
Right.
And they also came out with Moana, which I thought was excellent. I think Zootopia is probably better.
Okay.
But here's what I'm going to give credit for. Both of those movies, female lead.
Yeah.
Both of those movies, no romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Really great. But I guess...
I'm into that. Not everything needs a romance subplot. Yeah. It's fucking boring when it's
Brave.
Shoehorned in.
I know that wasn't... That's not Disney, is it? No, that is.
Brave is Pixar.
Yeah, Brave is Pixar. But it was when Pixar was... When Disney were still together, right?
They still are together, but I think I don't remember whether Brave was produced after the, quote, merger, unquote.
Yeah, okay.
I would rank it... I mean... mid to top.
Okay, great.
I don't know that it's better than like Beauty and the Beast, which is, kind of a masterpiece of a film.
Sure.
But Beauty and the Beast has those other issues like, well, it's a princess movie and blah blah blah, which can be good or bad.
Technically, I think Moana is a princess.
Is a princess.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're changing the definition a little bit better these days.
Well, we've got to get to other owners, but here's the thing. The nice thing about it is she is the daughter of the chief of a island.
Mm-hmm.
So And even though it is not appropriate to the culture, they basically make it so, because she's their oldest child, their only child, she will be chief.
Oh,
so
cool.
they set up a situation where she is going to be the leader of her people.
That's great.
She's princess analog.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Within that culture,
she qualifies
as royalty.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That's awesome. Nick?
Yo.
I've seen your boner, but I hear that there's a different, like, lean to it these days. So can you please tell us about your boner?
The axle tilt shifted.
Yeah. the surgery went fine, just so you guys know. But the
so it looks like 2017 is shaping up to be like a year of some fun shows to go see for us.
Yeah.
Molly and I got tickets to go see Run the Jewels on Valentine's Day, which fucking love Run the Jewels.
Super excited about that show.
Yeah, Killer Mike and LP. They just put out their third album Christmas Eve. It was a Christmas fucking miracle. I've talked about them a bunch, but it's a hip hop.
You talked about that like on the New Year's episode.
Yeah,
like,
So they're gonna be here in a few weeks, and Molly and I got tickets, and I'm very excited for that.
We're even going to the Myth. That's how much I want to see Run the Jewels.
I fucking hate the Myth. that's how much I love Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
But the other half of this, going to see shows and stuff,
nice.
Pardon me, is we bought a season subscription to Broadway in Minneapolis for the 2017-2018 season.
Are there still tickets available for that? I got to buy them.
We can talk about it after. I can make some recommendations and stuff.
Sweet.
But we managed, because it was great, I was going through training on how to sell someone a subscription and how to renew a subscription. And for that training, I bought my subscription. So I got to take care of that personal business at work and pick up a subscription like the hour they went on sale and opened, which is great. So we have.
So this boner too is going to relate to Molly's boner.
It is totally, because
it's like this entire episode is really about Molly's boner.
Just focusing on my boner.
We have some great seats in the first section of the balcony that are going to be comfortable for me and not just ruin my shins and knees like when we went and saw Book of Mormon. And the 17-18 season is mostly stuff I'm really interested in seeing. There's a few things that I'm less thrilled about, but there's School of Rock, mm-hmm. which all the child actors play their own instruments.
Sweet.
Which is really cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Phantom. And so
you've
Phantom,
never seen it?
I mean, I've never seen it.
In a movie.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I've never seen Phantom live.
Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera.
Excited.
Yeah, yeah. And then, hey, who doesn't love unnecessary sequels? Love Never Dies, aka Phantom Goes to the Circus.
We're not going
to
see Love Never Dies. We're not.
We are.
Oh, my
We have tickets for it. So, we're not going to not see it.
You can like, sell them. You can scalp them. It's totally legal.
It is legal, actually. And then Something Rotten. The like Renaissance Shakespearean comedy, like we know a bunch of people who listen to the soundtrack and think it's incredibly funny. And,
it's supposed to be really good.
And then there's the Waitress, just kind of a.
That's a play.
It's a musical.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's pie and abortion stuff.
The Humans. Yeah. That was the play.
The Humans is I think it won. 4 Tony Awards, including Best Play of the Year. And that's not a musical. It's a 90-minute play that their set looks like a two-story... It looks like an apartment building cross-section. So, like, they cut away an apartment building so you can see, like, the 7th floor and then the 6th floor beneath it. And it's a 90-minute real-time play, so there's no scene changes or breaks or anything like that. And it's like a Thanksgiving dinner with a family arriving at this apartment for dinner. And then you can see the neighbors or the floor above them as well. There's like a whole separate thing happening up there. But then it's just, 90 minutes straight through.
That's
like,
awesome.
I don't think there's an intermission. But
I'm excited about
and
that.
And then I'm less excited for Finding Neverland. I just don't. I don't know. I get it.
Yeah.
I just.
Kind of the way I feel about Phantom.
Yeah, sure. Maybe. And then we haven't, there's two add-ons that we haven't decided if we're gonna, I don't have any interest in Jersey Boys, but maybe we'll go see Chicago.
Chicago, I really want to see.
Yeah,
we'll, I have no interest in Jersey Boys. I couldn't, the fucks I give about Frankie Valli and people from Jersey in the 60s.
I'm just saying to the listeners in Minnesota that we are two are probably going to buy season tickets, yeah, as will be explained.
We're going on Wednesday.
There's a reason.
Yes.
There's a reason for this. Pat and I will be purchasing season tickets. If there's anybody out there who would like to buy our Phantom of the Opera tickets, I'm going to put it right out there. Right now, those are totally fucking up for sale.
I think the season opens with Aladdin, though.
Yeah.
And Aladdin got great reviews. The original guy who played the genie is now George Washington in Hamilton. Aladdin looks really fun. There's like flying carpets on wires and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like all sorts of stage hijinks. But by signing up for the 16-17 season, we are guaranteed Hamilton tickets for the 18-19 season.
As long as we renew.
Speaking of Molly's boner.
So,
yeah.
That leads well into Molly's boner.
So, my boner is Hamilton. I'm like obsessed with it. I know I'm late to the game. I don't care. Nick started, of our couple, Nick listened to it first and was like, you gotta listen to this. And within days, I was super obsessed. It's like all I've listened to in terms of music since the middle of December.
It's all you've listened to, either on your phone or just in your head.
Yep, my head is like, okay, so basically, I dream Hamilton songs. They're the background in my dreams. I wake up and my brain is like, hey, why don't we have this like 7-line phrase in our head all morning? And just so then I'll try. I listen to it at work because I love audiobooks and I mostly listen to audiobooks while I drive. But you can't really listen to audiobooks and write game rules. It doesn't really work because you can't, at least I can't. I can't be very nitty-gritty technical writing and also listening to and absorbing someone reading me fiction that I haven't heard before. So as a result, I just end up putting on music. And if I'm going to listen to music, I'm going to listen to Hamilton. So I've been listening to it a lot. And at this point, I would guess I've probably had about 80% of it memorized. Because I pick up things pretty quickly, and especially when I listen to them over and over.
So you're approximately 20% behind friend of the show, Wendy Bowlesby.
Yes, yeah, right. Absolutely, absolutely.
120%.
I would never claim to be on the level of friend of the show Wendy Bowlesby's Hamilton expertise. Absolutely not. But
friend of the show Pat Wick, to be honest.
True.
She might be that far along.
I'm super excited because buying these tickets means that next year we can renew our subscription and get Hamilton tickets, and that's super exciting. And it is totally the marshmallow experiment, where the delayed gratification of
for folks who aren't in Minnesota, you have to understand. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe if you're not, I don't know. I mean, we have listeners outside of America who might not understand
how fucking
hot Hamilton is, to the point that they're finally announcing a touring show.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting the touring show in the 2018 to 2019 season. In Minneapolis of the touring Broadway shows. And if you want a chance, and I think literally if you want a decent chance at Hamilton tickets, what you have to do is buy season tickets for the prior season.
Yeah.
Which gives you an opportunity
to renew.
Get guaranteed Hamilton tickets.
Yeah.
Because the 17-18 season goes on sale, you know, January.
That's
like
what you were
about
talking
now.
About.
Right, yep. And so you're buying tickets for more than the next year.
Yes.
And then it's a season beyond that.
Yeah.
So season beyond that, and I bet
it could be 2.5 years away.
You are your subscriptions up because of Hamilton now?
Ridiculously.
Yeah.
Because people are, I mean, Pat and I, we go to a Broadway show every now and we enjoy them.
Yeah.
But
you never
we're going to get season tickets because we want tickets to Hamilton.
And not only that, but it's, so here's the thing about it is that it's, But like we did, we broke it down cost effectively and everything. Yeah. And honestly, like right now it's to see Hamilton in Chicago. I'm not even going to pretend I could ever see it on Broadway because that would be an insanely expensive vacation. Even though I just want to go to Chicago and I'm going to drive the 8 hours to Chicago and stay a night in a hotel one night and get tickets, that altogether is going to be the cost of like a year's subscription to Minneapolis Broadway. So it doesn't make any sense to not...
And you get to see eight
shows for the same price, plus another seven
shows.
One of
them is Phantom of the Opera, but still.
I love Phantom of the Opera.
And you get to... A really nice thing is, like, I don't know, I worry about theater seating for me. Like, I don't like to go into a theater that I haven't been into and worry about their seats.
You're too tall, your shoulders are broad, your thighs are long, it's always uncomfortable.
It's rough for a lot of reasons, and so I know where we're sitting in the theater, I know the seats where we're sitting, and we're guaranteed those seats for everything. And for Hamilton, it's really, really comforting to know.
It's very exciting, and so I am just... It is a super exciting thing. And plus, we have the opportunity that we might be able to grab another pair of tickets and maybe take a couple friends with us or something. You know? And so,
because subscribers get to buy more tickets before they go on sale to the public even. So unless they hold anything back, isn't even going to get to buy Hamilton tickets.
Yeah, I mean, when like the Chicago production puts a new block of tickets up for sale, they're gone in... I don't know if it's minutes, but it's certainly hours.
When I went to look for Chicago, that's if you want to pay a reasonable price. Like, if you want to pay $600 a ticket, you can always get tickets.
Oh, sure, you can go to a scalping site.
Or even just a regular site. Like, I looked for dates because I was looking to see if it was, and one of the things I saw was, oh, yeah, we could go see Hamilton in Chicago in like a month if we want to pay $600 a ticket.
And sitting a second balcony in a seat that...
No. They'd be good seats because they're very expensive. Like, that's the problem. But the thing is, like, it's just not worth the hassle, and this is way exciting. I'm very excited. But I wanted to say, one of the reasons that I love this musical, like, if you haven't listened to it, I was hesitant because as a kid, I always listened to musicals. That was something I did a lot. I listened to Camelot before I ever saw it. Even the movie, I listened to I had a picture disc of the record. If you're young, you don't know what that is, but it was a record that had a beautiful Camelot, like, art and stuff, like, on the actual record. So I listened to that a lot. I listened to Phantom before I ever saw it. Funny story, I thought I had the entirety of Phantom. I only had one of the two cassette tapes.
Oh, really?
So I had Act 1 memorized, and I had never heard Act 2 when I finally saw it for the first time. I was super obsessed with Miss Saigon as a middle schooler because we went and saw that.
To Rent a bunch before we saw Rent in 97.
I saw Rent on Broadway in 1996, and it, like, changed my life. The show had been open for 4 months.
Yeah.
And I saw the original Broadway.
Oh, you saw original cast.
I saw original cast on Broadway in like August of 1996 when they had opened in April.
Some Adele Dazeem action right there.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like, and as a newly, like, that was the show where I was like, I'm bisexual. seriously. Like, we watched it. My boyfriend and I at the time went to New York for a 4-day trip, and we, like, it's so quaint. We planned it with a travel agent and everything, and had our tickets and went and saw the show, and I was just like, I was just blown away. Life changed. And that's kind of how I feel about Hamilton, because maybe it's because of the political climate we're in when I started listening to it, and I started listening to it after the election and feeling very hopeless and very oppressed and having a tyrant in power who thinks he can get away with whatever he wants and knowing we're going to have to fight and it very likely might get bloody. Just, there's a lot of things that I think are resonating with people right now that are in the show. So if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. And now I'm going to segue myself into five questions.
Five questions!
So, we have five questions from Dre. And Dre has answered them, and I'm going to read them. So, question number one,
what is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it is on?
I don't have a favorite, but any superhero, kung fu, mystical movie will catch my attention and can keep it if my husband doesn't get me back on track. I imagine myself in all of the characters, even the bloodiest killers. From the 70s version of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange to all of the superheroes of 2016, I can watch them repeatedly and love every minute. I also get a lot of knitting done while watching them, too.
Well, you know, knitting.
Knitting while watching movies is...
We watched Strange last night.
We did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It holds up, man. It's super good.
Question two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
My most prized possession is my yarns from our travels. Oh. I knit and crochet and enjoy getting new fibers from wherever we travel. One of my most expensive is musk ox from Alaska. A 50-gram ball of it cost $100.
Holy fuck!
Jesus.
My geekiest would have to be my small collection of comics depicting the origin stories of many characters and groups. None are rare or worth more than the yard sale prices I paid for them, but they offer everyone who feels different in so many ways to find their own unique character, and not only in the world of comics.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like that. That's expensive yarn.
Yes,
I want to know if Dre's ever knitted anything with it.
Do you just have it sitting in your yarn?
Yeah.
It's behind like a glass case. It's like shattered case of knitting emergency.
Only if you're going to make the greatest thing you've ever knit.
Yeah. Like, I have no idea if they would ever knit with $100 yarn. Like, that
I'd
would
be so
like,
scared to I use know. It, right?
It's this would be the best fucking scarf I've ever made before I would even consider using. All right. Not that I've done a lot of knitting, like literally any. But anyway, so question number three, what supernatural or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
I'd have to say the Doctor of Doctor Who. Though I have a hypersexual reason for traveling through time and space. Oh, the gayest of times! There's a lot of fan fiction about sexual encounters in space, and my own mind has invented several to appease my lusty appetites.
Oh man, you know there'd be like... If there's ever time travel tourism,
yeah,
it'd be like take a sex tour through history.
I think Dre needs a barrowman, like
right.
As a tour guide.
Question number four.
Harkness specifically.
Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
I think it would have to be our tribalism.
Yeah.
While religion does a good job of separating the human race, it's not the only way we break humans into the us and them groupings. The human race is going to need an immense outside incentive to come together, hopefully not through battle.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's the, did you see there's a video with Jon Stewart interviewing someone I didn't see, but he's just like a really short video talking about, and he says that too, that like tribalism is in our, like in our DNA and our history. Like there's no way that it's ever, I think we hear that a lot. I think that's a good reason.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five. What's your favorite quote?
I have no idea who said it or where it came from, but I have adored it for many years. Learn from the past, live in the moment, and have hope for the future.
Hmm.
I have found that I need all three parts in order to have a good life.
I think Abraham Lincoln said that. Or Thomas
Mark Edison. Twain.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dre. Yeah. That was awesome. If you have your answers to our five questions, go ahead and send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
Five questions.
You know, you can also support us on Patreon. And Nick, we have new Patreon supporters.
What? We have a bunch to go over.
Here, let's shout them out.
So, Ryan F. Stello, Robert Hurd, Randall Gaz, Lincoln Chrysler, Melissa Kersher, friend of the show, Andrew Malinar, and Kyle Monville, our most recent, may have put us to our $50 goal. Sometimes Patreon doesn't like tell you what you're at until people actually get charged for stuff. It's a little wonky, but we are, if we're not at our $50 goal, we are cents away from it.
So close.
Which means...
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that mean?
Our first goal was to do 2 special report episodes per year.
And Nick has already emailed the ghost people.
To do a ghost hunting tour in Minneapolis, I think is what
we're
do.
Yeah.
It's the same people that do the Segway tours around.
Of course it is.
Can you do a Segway ghost hunting tour?
No, the Segways interfere with their electromagnetic
I'm sure,
field.
Yeah. Ghosts hate Segways, Tim. Yeah. Don't you know that?
Speaking of ghost hitting segways, no.
But
if you've ever seen a ghost, I mean, they float around like they're riding on a Segway.
That's true.
This is so. That is the sound of 99 Geeks Without God buttons that Molly took Melissa's design and did some color variants and a nice, pretty rainbow button.
Yep.
We sat down and watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and cranked out 100 buttons.
And by we, he means he. He did it all himself with the buttons.
You did the design. I did the grunt work.
So here's the thing.
I did nothing.
You approved. Proofs.
I guess.
We have these buttons. We have them in a variety of colors. We're going to be sending them out to our Patreon supporters along with who are at $5 and above.
With stickers.
We also have a new sticker that we designed that they're going to be getting and that you can get if you come to any of our shows. For example, our live show, which we're going to be performing at Die Laughing.
Die Laughing, which is the weekend of April 1st.
And I believe that we are performing on the, I want to say the 31st. I think we're on March 31st, but I could be wrong.
Tim's going to pull it up. Right,
but we have a new sticker that I'm really excited about, and it is our Pride sticker. It's a rainbow Geeks Without God logo in a hot pink circle. And if you want to, I'm assuming you do because you listen to our show, and we are all about rights for the LGBTQIA plus community. And so you can show your pride, you can show your geekiness and your atheism all in one three-inch
circle. It's our intersectional sticker.
It is our intersectional sticker. I love it.
We are going to be, by the way, we are going to be live at Die Laughing. It is on the 31st. We are recording from 11 p.m. to midnight.
Nice.
At the Phoenix Theater?
It is at the Phoenix Theater in Minneapolis, and we are going to be doing a town hall style show.
Yep.
So people, for the first time, we'll be letting people ask us questions, whatever they want to do.
Yep.
And we will make the show happen from there. It is going to be streamed online.
Oh, exciting.
Which means that you could probably tweet.
You almost certainly.
A question to
I'll
us.
Have, we'll have our Twitter. We'll all have our phones. So if you want to tweet us questions, yeah. We'll be able to answer them.
We'll probably enlist someone's help.
This is your chance to ask us the question you've always wanted to know.
Or
nothing off the table. We will answer any question.
Or if you want us to debate or talk about any specific topic, we'll be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. Anything else for the Patreon update, Nick?
I think that's it. We're looking at what we've done with your money so far. We used some of it to renew our domain name and pay some hosting costs. We bought a button maker with money from the Patreon and from a show at the Phoenix Theater.
Mm-hmm.
We some of this is buffered with a little bit of out-of-pocket costs as the money comes in. And right now, we're going to pay for the stickers that Molly ordered to send out to folks. And then we're starting to look at equipment. We know we had a recent episode that had an audio issue. That's a perfect example of why we want to get better equipment. Right now we're running on an omnidirectional snowball blue USB mic, which is good enough, but we think we could do better, and we'd love to improve the quality of our podcast, and by supporting us, you're helping us do that. So right now we're looking at soundboards, mixers, microphones, and headphones.
Every
to
dollar
get started.
Helps.
Yeah,
literally, if you think just a dollar won't help us, you are so wrong, because a bunch of people most of our subscribers are about the $1 or $2 a month, and that really helps us a lot. So thank you all so much. We have been Geeks Without God. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. As always, you can always answer our 5 questions or email either of us at Nick, Tim, or Molly at geeksoutgod.com. And hopefully we'll see you at Die Laughing in April or March 31st.
Whatever.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
There's a million dudes I haven't done. Just you wait. Just you wait.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Who the fuck knows? Nobody does.
Ta-da-da-da.